Philippians 4, the epistle reading this morning, is my text. And to me, this is kind of like Oriental food. You know, a combination of divergent concepts. You know how Oriental food is? You got sweet and sour together, hot and sour soup. There'll be one dish that's got real soft stuff, and then there'll be something crunchy in it also, so you have soft and crunchy. Just kind of a combination of things. They all seem unrelated, but they all go well together. And that's kind of what this looks like at first glance is, well, Paul's finishing up the book, and he's just giving them kind of some miscellaneous proverbs, and they're not particularly related, but they are. They're all connected. He's talking about rejoice always, don't be anxious, praise God in everything, think only on good things, be content in every situation. This is all interrelated, and let's read it, and then I want to try to show you how it's interrelated, okay? Starting in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and perceived and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. And skipping down to verse 11, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And I'm sure that all of you who've been through the Crown Financial Course can quote this one. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Actually, I think that what we have here in Philippians 4 is a set of exercises. I'm going to call them Paul's happy exercises, okay? And I know that this is relevant because as I was preparing this message, I got two different phone calls yesterday from two different people, and both of them needed exactly these exercises. I'll tell you about one of them here in a minute. Let's start with the first exercise, okay? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That means to rejoice all the time, whether you feel like it or not. That word rejoice has a connotation of cheerfulness along with it. It's not just praising God, it's praising God in a cheerful way. Now, it doesn't say to rejoice for everything that happens to you, but it does say no matter what happens to you, you need to rejoice and praise God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now notice there it says, in everything give thanks, not for everything give thanks. There was a teaching that went through the church years ago, and they said, oh, no matter what happens to you, you need to praise God for what's happening to you. If you get hit by a car, well, you need to praise God because who knows what God's trying to teach you in that car crash. I hate to tell you this, but not everything that happens to us is God's will. It didn't take long in the church for balance to come in, and folks begin to look at scriptures like these and realize, oh, God's not saying praise God for everything. He's just saying praise God and have a worshipful attitude in everything. Sometimes we go through difficult things, and it's hard to praise God. Look down here where Paul says in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I think that that verse, when we quote it, I think we're taking it out of context. Now, it literally says, I can do all things through the one empowering me. We would translate that today as, I can do all things through Messiah or Jesus who gives me strength to do those things, whatever they are. And I think that's certainly a correct interpretation, but there's two ways to look at that. either Paul is saying, I can do anything God asks me to do, or I think he might have been saying, I can endure anything that I have to do through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the first interpretation we normally think of, that God's going to give us power and strength to do things, well, of course, that's a correct interpretation. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about giftings and talents and how God gives each one of us special abilities and special anointings to do things that we couldn't otherwise do. A month or so ago, we talked about Elijah, and we read the passage where Elijah, empowered by God, outruns Ahab in his chariot. I mean, this boy's chariot's being pulled by horses, and Elijah's outrunning him. Well, that was obviously the power of God to do that, so as a, you know, to accomplish something great. But when we look at the context here of verse 13, what is he talking about right before that? He's talking about how he's learned to be content in whatever circumstances. He knows how to get along with humble means and how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I've learned how to be filled and how to be hungry, both in abundance and suffering need. So, to me, it looks like Paul is really saying, going along with verse 4 of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what's going on, rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what happens, rejoice and be thankful to God. I think it kind of goes along with this. What Paul's really saying is, I can endure anything, because I know I have learned the secret of how to praise God in anything. So which interpretation do you think is right on verse 13 there? That God can cause us to do anything, or he can help us endure anything? Yeah, I think it's both. I think they both work. They're both correct, that's for sure. But you know, especially if you're listening to a lot of the radio preachers, we Christians, we shouldn't ever go through anything bad, right? I mean, nothing bad should happen to somebody that's really serving the Lord. Take Paul as an example. I mean, he was probably the best example we have of a completely committed Christian who's always doing God's will, right? Paul didn't have any troubles, did he? Well, I mean, except for those times he got beaten to the point that they left him for dead. And then, of course, there was a time he was shipwrecked. And then there was a time those guys started out after him and they all vowed not to eat or drink till they killed him. Then, of course, there are people that maligned him and lied about him. And so I guess maybe Paul did have some difficult times, didn't he? He did go through some tough things, but he said that he'd learned the secret. And part of the secret was this exercise here in verse 4, and that is that no matter what happens, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to rejoice in whatever's going on. Now, there's another little thing that I think Paul knew that helps. Turn to Romans 8. If we really believe Romans 8, it makes it a whole lot easier for us to praise God no matter what's going on. Romans 8 and verse 28, we read, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. So, not everything that happens in our life may be God's will, but God has the ability to turn everything that happens into our life into something good. I'll tell you a quick funny story. A lady called me this week, and she said, my washing machine is hopping around all over the place. It won't even do the laundry. It's just hopping all over the place. And I can't get hold of my husband, and he's working late, and I need to call a repairman, and I don't know. Do you have anybody, any idea who to call? I said, man, I don't know. Just, you're going to have to go to the Yellow Pages, I guess, and pick up the phone and call somebody and hope for the best. And so we'll pray that the Lord will send you a good guy out there. And, you know, you can hear the sigh in her voice, just one more unexpected expense on top of one more unexpected expense on top. I mean, they just had all these unexpected expenses. And he's like, oh, man, and now this, and what do we got? I got to be able to wash my clothes. And so a few hours later, I get a call back from her. She said, you won't believe what happened. I call this guy up. He says, okay, it's going to be $85 minimum charge for me to come out there and look at your washing machine. And then it may cost more than that for whatever I have to do to fix it. The guy gets out there and discovers that part of the packing crate that the washer had been shipped in had never been taken off the bottom of the washing machine. And so the washing machine never set firmly, and it just had a tendency to vibrate around. It was getting worse. And so the guy takes that off. He does some adjustments inside the washing machine, pulls the top off, does some things. And when it comes time to leave, this lady gets her checkbook out and says, okay, how much is that going to be? He says, nothing. And he left. And so what appeared to be an awful thing that was about to happen turned out to be God's way of blessing anyway. And so I'm not saying if your washing machine breaks, praise God that your washing machine broke, okay? But I am saying praise God in the middle of those kind of things happening to you, and especially because we never know when really God's turning that around into something really great and really good for us. And I think this is what Paul means when he says, I can do all things, or I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's because I'm going to endure all things. I'm going to be content in every situation because I've learned how to rejoice and give praise to God and give thanks to God no matter what comes along. Now that I've said all of that about how important it is to thank God in every situation, I want to tell you, I think there's a bit of an exception to this. Turn to Psalm 22. I think that for sure we should always eventually get to the place where we're praising God in everything. But sometimes, in some situations, it's just really hard to start off that way, okay? And we see lots of examples of this in the Psalms. Look at this one. We'll read the first six verses of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O God, I cry day and night, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. Now, does this sound like somebody's praising God and everything? He goes on to say, yet you are holy. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and they were delivered. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. But I am a worm. I'm not a man. I'm a reproach of men, despised by all people. You see this in a lot of Psalms. The psalmist starts off, he is shaking his fist in God's face. God, what in the world is going on here? The air of my world is falling down around my ears. Everything is going wrong. I'm in the worst possible place I could ever be in. Everybody's trying to kill me or whatever. And what in the world is going on? But if you'll notice, on every one of those psalms, they start off that way, but the psalm finishes up in praise and in worship of God and in thanksgiving for God being who he is. And so which is it? Should we rejoice always, or should we tell God how we feel and let it all hang out? Well, this is kind of like that other scripture. Well, it's both. It's okay. I think the psalmists have given us the secret here. It's okay to start off being real honest with God about how we feel. But let's let that move into a place where we can praise. I think what we're doing when we do that is we're venting or we're releasing pressure. I have in my garage a portable air compressor, and it's got a tank that holds some air, and then the compressor's on top of that. And it has a relief valve that's part of that system. The tank holds about 200 PSI, and at that point, if you put more in it than that, the tank might burst. So what you do is the release valve is set to about 100 PSI so that anytime the pressure gets up to 100 PSI, the relief valve starts letting pressure off so it can never get above that. Otherwise, you know, the thing might explode and that would not be a good thing when you're around the compressor. So sometimes people are like that. We need to release some pressure or we'll explode. And most of us by now have learned that holding it in doesn't help because then negative effects just come out in other ways. And so we need some way to release it. It's not uncommon, probably once or twice a year, I get a phone call from a customer. I just got this invoice and this, your labor report shows here your guy was out here for 9 hours on such and such a date and he was only here 6 hours and I'm not going to pay for it. You know, and I could say, hey, well, hold on, we're honest people, don't you tell me that, and hang up on him. You know, I could do that. But instead, what I do is I let the customer vent. So you feel like that maybe we made a mistake in this. Oh, yeah, I know you guys made a mistake. You know, and I just let the guy talk for a while, and I'm trying to actively listen and see if I can understand what he's talking about. And matter of fact, a lot of times I'll say, well, look, if you don't think the charge is right, just take it off the invoice. Don't pay it. It's all right. We'll get around that. And normally, by then, they're starting to kind of deflate, and they're getting back to human beings again, and they can actually have a conversation with you. And eventually we work things out and everything is okay. This last time this happened, we discovered that the date in question was a Saturday. And the guy really had only been out there 6 hours, but because it was a Saturday, the customer knows we charge time and a half for overtime on Saturdays. And so that's why he had been billed for 9 hours. And so as soon as he realizes it's Saturdays, we'll pay this, no problem. But you know what? If I hadn't let him vent to start with, we might never have gotten to that place. They might not still be a customer of ours. And so it's okay to tell God how you feel. It's okay to just get right in his face. God's a big guy. He's not going to get worried or nervous, or he's not going to be threatened by your anger at what's going on around you. But like I said, the psalmists tell us how to do this right, and that is, don't spend all your time shaking your fist in God's face. Turn it back into praise and worship, just like Paul is telling us to do here in Philippians 4:4. Get back to the place where you can start rejoicing and praising God no matter what. Now, let me tell you a quick story about how some of these things work. We'll eventually get to all of Paul's happy exercises. It's a story of sort of the rise and fall and resurrection of a computer company I started once upon a time. We were doing pretty well. We had gotten a $1 million contract from a company. It was a startup company, and they needed $1 million worth of computer systems, specialized computers, and we had that done, got the financing in place for them. And about that time, there was this big finance crunch that hit. And I mean, it was like 1 week, you could get a loan for $10,000 just because you're breathing. And the next week, you couldn't have gotten a loan for $10,000 if you'd have put up $12,000 in cash as collateral. I mean, it was just a big banking crunch. And so this company, their financing went away for this project, which meant, of course, our contract for the $1 million in computers went away. And that was going to make our company, you know, this is going to be great. And they eventually went out of business. So that was a big blow to the company. We lost this big contract. We've been working for 6 months on this. And about that time, one of the managers that I'd hired started trying to steal the people. He was going to go start his own company. And so he's going to start to talk to some of our people about stealing them away. And so I fired him. And this is one of those situations where every time you think things have gotten as bad as they can get, then something else bad happens and it gets worse. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Am I the only one that's ever gotten to the, okay, this is the bottom. It's just, and then the bottom falls out and you find there's another layer down there somewhere. And so I fire this guy, and then some of the other people quit. And then there were others that were disgruntled, and then we weren't doing things right, and they didn't want to stay. And eventually I just fired everybody. And said, okay, I'm just going to fire everybody and start all over again. Run the company, be the company, the whole company myself. And surely things can't get any worse. And then, of course, the mortgage payment, we got behind on that. And we got behind on the car payment and got creditors calling and all that kind of stuff. So I can remember going into the office by myself in the mornings. And it was like dragging an old dead horse around with me. I mean, it was just, oh, man, I didn't want to get out of bed, nothing. And every day I'd pray. And every day I'd hear the Lord say, he's going to take care of things. And every day I would force myself to rejoice in God and praise God, all the time thinking, this is impossible. There is just no way out of this mess. We ain't going to make it. But God would remind me, you know, as I would praise him and talk to him, he would remind me about all of his blessings and all the good things that he had done. I would rejoice in God whether I felt like it or not. I started to say I would rejoice in God even at the times when I didn't feel like it. But I can tell you at the beginning of that period, there wasn't a time where I felt like rejoicing and praising God. And I just had to push through it. I'm going to rejoice and praise God anyway. I'm going to think about the good things and the blessings anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. Every day I'm going to ask God to do whatever it is he needs to do this, and trust that he's going to take care of it. And after a while, I began to at least feel like praising God and at least feel like praying again. You know, the want to's began to come back. And pretty soon we started hiring people again, began to get customers again, good customers, good faithful customers. And the company came back again. It was like sort of the phoenix rising out of the ashes. But I had to do these happy exercises that Paul talks about here to survive and get through this. Now, look at verse 8 of Philippians 4, and let's talk about one of these happy exercises. It's think on the good things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Now, Paul is giving us a long list to make sure we get the point. Want to make sure you're not missing anything here, guys. Whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence in it, and if there's anything worthy of praise in it, let your mind dwell on those things. This is the exercise that helps us learn how to be cheerful and rejoice always. See, if you're thinking on good things, then it's easier to rejoice always. It's also easier to be content if you're always thinking on the good things. I'll tell you another story about a lady that had a couple of neighborhood kids that would come over and play with her kids, but they were fighting all the time. And so she said, this is what I'm going to do. Every time you fight, I'm going to tell you you can't fight. And if you won't obey me, I'm going to make you go home. In other words, what she's going to do is she said, I'm going to impose from the outside a restraint on you, and then eventually you'll start wanting to do that yourself. She said, if every time you fight, I stop you, eventually you'll get to where you won't fight as much. And sure enough, that's what started happening with them. Back in the olden days, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, once upon a time, when I was selling Bible books door to door to work my way through college, there would be two or three of us guys roomed together for the summer. And one of the exercises that we did every morning, 6 days a week, before we'd go out and start selling Bible books, is we'd go out in the parking lot and we'd jump up and down and holler as loud as we could, I feel healthy, I feel happy, I feel terrific. And you feel pretty stupid doing that initially, but as it turns out, it was kind of magic. Eventually, you started feeling better. You started feeling healthy, happy, and terrific. Research has shown that your emotional mood follows what your mouth is saying. It's not the other way around. So if you say you rejoice and are thankful, even when you don't feel like rejoicing and being thankful, what happens is pretty soon your mood begins to line up with the words that you're saying. If you start saying you feel awful and depressed, then after a while you'll start feeling that way too. I mean, it works both ways. Some researchers were doing work on depression and depression medication. They were testing various kinds of medication, and they discovered that the happy pills, the depression medications, weren't doing a whole lot more than the placebo. But they were noticing that there were some people getting better from depression. They started looking at, well, what's the difference? Why are some people getting better? And they noticed that, generally speaking, the people that were getting well were people that were doing exactly what Paul says do here in verse 8. They were turning their minds on to good things. They were doing the old trite but true saying, count your blessings. And as they would think on the good things, as they would think on things that were pure and of good report, etc., they would start coming out of their depression. So when you're feeling the lowest, that's the time to practice some of Paul's happy exercises here. Yeah, but I don't feel like thinking about good things and praising God. That's perfectly okay, because that's the time you need to be thinking about good things and praising God, because as you think about good things and start praising God, pretty soon your feelings will start to catch up with you. You'll start feeling better. Paul gives a long list. See if you can find any one thing in the list. And if you can find the one thing, then maybe you'll be able to find another thing along the way. Okay, let me tell you about one of the calls I got yesterday as I was preparing this. Debbie called in the middle of the afternoon. I was away from the house all day. And she called and said, boy, I just have been feeling depressed and blue all day long. She said, you know, there's really nothing in particular I'm depressed about, nothing bad going on. I just feel depressed, and I don't know what's wrong, and I can't shake it. And so I just thought I'd call you. And she started crying. And I told her, I said, this is perfect. What you need is you need Paul's happy exercises. And she goes, what? What are you talking about? Well, we backed up a little bit. And I said, we may need to start with some spiritual warfare. Because if you're feeling depressed, but there's no reason to feel depressed, it's not like something bad is going on and therefore you're depressed, or you haven't had any sleep and therefore you're depressed. Maybe what it is a spirit of depression, just like that spirit of anger that I'd had. We said, okay, we need to exercise spiritual authority in the name of Jesus. We need to drive that demon away and make it leave you alone. So we said, okay, we do that. Debbie says, oh yeah, I know how to do that. I can do that. And I said, so let me explain to you these principles about the happy exercises. I said, first of all, you need to train your mind on good thoughts. And you need to think only on things that are good and pure and right. What verse does that come from out of Philippians 4? Okay, that's verse 8. That's right. See, it's pretty good here. Okay, so that's one of the exercises. The other exercise is that you need to start rejoicing in the Lord, not rejoicing for your depression, but rejoicing in your depression. In other words, even if you're depressed. Okay, what verse is that? That's verse 4. Okay. Now, the next one is a verse we'll get to next week. Whatever comes to mind that's bothering you, you need to pray about it. And you can't worry and be anxious about it, but you got to pray and ask God to step in and change things. In other words, put it in God's hands and expect a miracle. Get back to where you feel like you at least have some control of what's going on. Now, that's verse 6. Now, about this time, she says, you know, of course I know all this stuff. But sometimes it really helps to have somebody else that can kind of come along and remind you once in a while. I know how that is. And then I told her about the idea of just keep on rejoicing and worshiping God, and that she may not feel like doing any of those exercises, but her emotions are going to catch up with her eventually. And if she'll just continue to worship and praise God with her mouth, that pretty soon she'll start to feel just fine. And of course, she did. I mean, it was no time until she was back to normal and just fine. She finished up the conversation by saying, it's so good that we have each other to go to, and we don't have to worry about being put down, but we know that the other one will lift us up. And boy, I thought when she said that, amen. How many times have I been down and Debbie has lifted me up, and how many times have I leaned on Debbie to give me strength? We need each other, and we need to be able to help each other. This is not just exercises we can do all by ourselves. Sometimes we need somebody else that can help us to think about good things, or somebody else that can help us get into a place of rejoicing. Well, next week we'll finish up talking about the exercises and about the peace that comes along with them.